Millions of children since the late 1990s. SpongeBob SquarePants has achieved what many wish they could as an ongoing cartoon series. But what would you say if I told you that there was an unexplained event that took place that very little know about? Something very paranormal. Come with me. Flip your lights on as we uncover Squidward suicide here on Creepify. I was an intern at Nickelodeon Studios for a year in 2005. It wasn't paid, of course. Most internships aren't. But it did have some perks beyond education. Now, since I worked directly with the editors and animators, I got to view the new episodes day before they aired. I'll get right to it without giving too many unnecessary details. They had a very recently made SpongeBob movie, and the entire staff was just so overwhelmed and sapped of creativity, so it looked to them no longer to start up the season. But the delay lasted longer for more upsetting reasoning. There was a problem with the Series 4 premiere that set everyone and everything back for several months. Me and two other interns were in the editing room along with the lead animators and sound editors for the final cut. We received the copy that was supposed to be Fear of a Krabby Patty and gathered around the screen to watch. Now, given that it isn't final yet, animations often put up a mock title card. Sort of an inside joke for us, with phony, oftentimes lewd titles, such as How Sex Doesn't Work, instead of Rockabye Beverly. When SpongeBob and Patrick adopt the sea scallop, nothing particularly funny about work-related chuckles. So when we saw the title card, Squidward's Suicide, we didn't think, you know, it was more than just a morbid joke. One of the interns did a small throat laugh at it. The happy-go-lucky music plays as it normally does. The story began with Squidward practicing his clarinet, hitting a few sour notes like normal. We hear SpongeBob laughing outside and Squidward stops, yelling at him to keep it down as he had a concert that night and needs to practice. SpongeBob says okay and goes to see Sandy with Patrick. The bubble splash screen comes up and we see the ending of Squidward's concert. This is when things begin to seem off. While playing, a few frames repeat themselves, but the sound doesn't. You know, at this point, the sound is synced up with animation, so yes, that's not common. But when he stops playing, the sound finishes as if the skip never happened. There is a slight murmuring in the crowd before they begin to boo him. Not normal cartoon booing that is common in the show, but you could very clearly hear anger in it. Squidward's in full frame and looks visibly afraid. The shot goes to the crowd, with SpongeBob in center frame, and he too is booing, very much unlike him. That isn't the oddest thing, though. What is odd is everyone has hyper-realistic eyes, very detailed. Clearly not shots of real people's eyes, but sometimes a bit more real than CGI. The pupils were red. Some of us looked at each other, obviously confused, but since we weren't the writers, we didn't question its appeal to children yet. The shot goes to Squidward sitting on the edge of a bed, looking very forlorn. The view out of his porthole window is of a night sky, so it isn't very long after the concert. The unsettling part is at the point there is no sound. Literally no sound, not even feedback from the speakers in the room. As if the speakers were turned off, though, their status showed them working perfectly. He just sat there, blinking in silence for about 30 seconds. Then he started to sob softly. He put his tentacles over his eyes and cried quietly for a full minute or more. All the while, a sound in the background was very slowly growling from nothing to barely audible. It sounded like a slight breeze through a forest. The screen slowly begins to zoom in on his face. And by slow, I mean it's noticeably if you look at shots, you know, 10 seconds apart, side by side. His sobbing gets louder, more full of hurt and anger. The screen then twitches a bit, as if it twists in and out of itself for a split second, then back to normal. The wind through the tree sound gets slower, louder and more severe, as if a storm brewing somewhere. The eerie part is that the sound and Squidward sobbing sounded real, as if the sound wasn't coming from the speakers, but as if there were speakers where holes in the sound was coming through from the other side. As good a sound as the studio likes to have, they don't purchase the equipment to be the good to produce a sound of that quality. Below, the sound of wind and sobbing, very, very faint, something sounded like laughing. It came at odd intervals and never lasted more than a second, so you had a hard time pinning, you know, watching it several times. So pardon me if things sound too specific, but I have time to think about them. After 30 seconds of this, the screen blurred and twitched violently, and something flashed over the screen as if a single frame was replaced. The lead animation editor paused and rewound the frame by frame. What we saw was horrible. It was a still photo of a dead child. He couldn't have been more than 6. The face was mangled and bloodied, one eye dangling over his unturned face, pop. He was naked down to his underwear, his stomach crudely cut open, and his entrails laying beside him. He was laying on some pavement that was probably a road. The most upsetting part was there was a shadow of the photographer. There was no crime tape, no evidence tags or markers, and the angle was completely off for a shot designed to be evidence. It would be seen that the photographer was the person responsible for the child's death. We were, of course, mortified, but pressed on, hoping that it was a sick joke. The screen flipped back to Squidward, still sobbing louder than before, and half body in frame, There was now what appeared to be blood running down his face from his eyes. The blood was done in a hyper-realistic style, looking as if you touched it, you get blood on your own fingers. The wind sounded now as if there was a gale blowing through the forest. There were even snapping sounds of branches, the laughing, a deep baritone, lasting at longer intervals and coming more frequently. After about 20 seconds, the screen again twisted and showed a single frame photo. The editor was reluctant to go back. We all were, but he knew he had to. This time, the photo was that of a appeared to be a little girl no older than the first child. She was laying on her stomach in a pool of blood next to her. Her left eye was too popped out and popped, naked except for the underpants. Her entrails were piled on top for above another crude cut along her back. Again, the body was on the street and a photographer's shadow was visible. Very similar in size and shape to the first. I had to choke back vomit, and one intern, the only female in the room, ran out, and the show resumed. About 5 seconds after this second photo played, Squidward went silent, as did all sound, like it was when the scene started. He put his tentacles down, and his eyes were now done in a hyper-realism like the others were at the beginning of the episode. They were bleeding, bloodshot, and pulsating. He just stared at the screen as if he watched the viewer. After about 10 seconds, he started sobbing, this time not covering his eyes. The sound was piercing and loud, and most fear-inducing of all, as his sobbing was mixed with screams, terrors, tears, and blood were dripping down his face at a heavy rate. The wind sound came back, and so did the deep voice laughing. And at this time, the still photo lasted for a good 5 frames. The animator was able to stop it, though, on the 4th and backed up. This time, the photo was of a boy about the same age. But this time, the scene was different. The entrails were just being pulled out from a stomach, wounded by a large hand. The right eye popped and dangling, blood trickling down it. The animator proceeded. It was hard to believe, but the next one was different. We couldn't tell what. He went on to the next same thing. He want to be back in the first and play them quicker, and I lost it. I vomited on the floor, the animating and sound effect editors gasping at the screen. The 5 frames were not as if they were 5 different photos. They were played out in the frames from a video. We saw the hands slowly lifting out of the guts. We saw the kids focusing on it. We even saw 2 frames of the kids beginning to blink. The lead sound editor told us to stop. He had to call in the creator to see this Mr. Hillenberg arrive within 15 minutes. He was confused as why he was called down there. So the editor just continued the episode. Once the few frames were shown, all screaming, all sounds again stopped. Squidward was just staring at the viewer, full frame of the face, for about 3 seconds. The shot quickly panned out and a deep voice said, "Do it." And we see it in Squidward's hands, a shotgun. He immediately puts the gun into his mouth and pulls the trigger. Realistic blood and brain matter splatters the wall behind him and his bed. He flies back with the force. The last 5 seconds of this episode show his body on the bed, on his side, one eye dangling on what's left of his head above the floor, staring blankly at him. Then the episode ends. Mr. Hillenberg is obviously angry at this. He demanded to know what was going on. Most people left the room at that point, so it's just a handful of us to watch it again. Viewing this episode twice only served to imprint the entirety of it in my mind and cause me horrible nightmares. The only theory we could think of what was on file was edited by someone in the chain from the drawing studio to here. The CTO was called in to analyze when it happened. The analysis of the file did show it was edited over by new material. However, the timestamp of it was a mere 24 seconds before we began viewing it. All the equipment involved was examined for foreign software and hardware, as well as glitches, as if the timestamp may have glitched and showed the wrong time. But everything checked out fine. We don't know what happened, and to this day, no one does. There wasn't an investigation due to the nature of the photos, but nothing came of it. No child scene was ever identified. No clues were gathered from the data involved, nor physical in the photos. I never believed in an unexplainable phenomena before. But now that I have something happen, I can't prove anything about it. Beyond evidence, I think twice about things.